Well, we're back. You're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. My name is Dan Gowerthy, along with
Tom Nato.
And Tom, if you could take the mic over, the phone's ringing. Maybe we have a caller calling in here.
It's a threatening phone call, I'm sure. Or somebody saying, but I really wasn't the president of Chile. Anyway, we're moving on to some other stories. It's really hard to find a story that isn't about people who are under indictment or refusing to apologize for somebody being under indictment. And we're going to start with the NSA, or are we going to do this with Nancy Pelosi?
No, we'll start with the NSA, but I have to say the reason we answered the phone, that was our Kathy from the station here, always reliable. We called her about an hour and a half ago in a state of panic, and Kathy returned our call. So, Kathy, thanks for calling.
Wait a minute. So we must be on. They must be hearing us.
Somebody's listening to us. My gosh. Somebody is listening to us. Anyhow, Tom, sorry to disturb your train of thought here. Continue with the NSA. Go.
Thought?
You had a thought?
I remember.
What is it?
I was asking you, are we going to start with the NSA stuff? Did you want to do the Nancy Pelosi stuff first, or how do we want to do this?
Now, let's do the NSA stuff and then go into the Nancy Pelosi stuff. So,
and I think you know why the first would explain the other, because if the NSA is listening to everybody and she's not going to impeach the president, they got something on.
Yeah, absolutely, you're darn right about that. Anyhow, one of the big stories I'm going to editorialize again. I guess that's all we do on this show is editorialize. But you know, it is amazing the amount of corruption and scandals coming out of this administration. I mean, these guys are really making the Nixon administration look like a second-rate operation.
You know why I think part of this is that when you keep raising the salaries, the real legitimate salaries, people expect more to be bribed.
Right.
I mean, if they're already making $2 million a day anyway because they're legislators,
right,
and you really want to bribe them, get them up with something better than that, you know, like $4 million, $12 million.
Could be. In any case, the last big story that come out in the last couple days was about the National Security Agency basically data mining and keeping records of not just people. Well, let me back up a little bit. The NSA's mission is to do electronic eavesdropping internationally. By law, they're not supposed to do any domestic spying operations. In fact, CIA is not supposed to do any domestic spying operations. Spying operations, if you will, legally, are supposed to be the domain of the FBI.
NSA was a encryption decryption organization when it really started, when I knew something about it.
Right.
And it was basically posts to listen in on what other people were saying.
It's just totally electronic monitoring. And if you, as a side note, if you want to read a really excellent book about the history of the NSA, what they do, and all their, all the schemes that have come out of there through the years, and particularly in post-World War II, there's an excellent book by James Bamford called Body of Secrets, and it's a pretty long book, but it's a very interesting
read.
And,
you know, there's been a spurt of new books coming out by now ex-reporters who covered this stuff, and if you go to either Counterpunch or to Whiskey Bar, Billman, they have these people are very well informed, particularly Billman. We talked about him before,
right?
And the very best new books on insider looks are coming out. There's a lot of them,
right?
And, now that they're safe and got their pensions,
right? Well, Bamford actually wrote this book. I think it was published originally published in 99 or 2000. It was definitely before September 11th.
Yeah, when everything wasn't closed up.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But then it was reintroduced. Probably the publisher didn't really have, it didn't sell well or something.
Right.
But now it's been reintroduced.
Right.
I understand. I have not read, so.
Yeah, it's.
Why trust me, but I understand it's a very good book.
It's a great analysis of what the NSA has done and some of their history and everything that's gone on.
A couple of little minor points that I'll share with the public here. I was reading yesterday that there are about 15 intelligence agencies along the lines of NSA out there, different things. And it's been, why do we need so many? And I realized you know, there's a second part to that. Is if you've got 15, there's always another one to blame it on.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
You're not responsible for it.
Shift blame.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Anyhow, the NSA, their charter is electronic eavesdropping, and it's supposed to be done internationally. And the USA Today actually broke a story and on Thursday of this week that said the NSA, with cooperation from AT&T, Bell South, and I believe Verizon, allowed the NSA to basically go in there and scour and take all the just basically all the information about phone calls that were made, not of just terrorist suspects, but of everybody, customers.
What they're doing, if you really read down in that,
that's the story.
Every single phone call made in this country is now monitored and recorded so that it's on like your list of, oh, well, let's go back and look at them. And
right.
So they can go way back and pull you up and say, oh, well, you know, we can interpret that as.
Right. Yeah.
So that's not like some or targeted or whatever, but every single phone call you've made.
Right.
Is now filed away for future use.
For posterity.
Well, not for your posterity, because you'll be in jail.
Yeah, right.
But no, I mean, and so this is what finally got a couple of people angry, because they know what they've been talking about on the phone.
Right.
And they don't want that to come out.
Well, the other thing, just as a side note to this, that I find very interesting in, you know, the realm of the post 9/11 world we live in, the so-called war on terror and whatnot, if just from an intellectual point of view, and you know, let's just pretend, and this is a big pretend here, let's pretend we're going to listen to what all the so-called intelligence experts say, that we need more human intelligence versus electronic intelligence. I mean, the fact that they're spending billions of dollars on, I mean, a massive...
Tens of billions.
Yeah, a massive amount of information, electronic information, and... The 9/11 Commission even said, you know, in their report that, well, we needed more feet on the ground. We needed to have more, you know, sources of information.
Human intelligence.
And what are they doing? It's like, as far as I can tell, based on what they're doing at the NSA, based on the nomination of General Michael Hayden, who is a number two man at NSA.
The first military person to head the CIA, because they're supposed to be separated.
Right. You know. It basically says, on just a very primal level, that they're not paying attention to any of these recommendations, and you wouldn't expect them to anyhow. But, you know, instead of doing, you know, from an intelligence point of view, if you are going to get information about your enemies, what's the best? It's from humans, you know, human contacts. And, you know,
we've had have been blamed on that part.
Right. But, you know, if you look back at it, you look back in the, and we'll get back to the NSA in a minute, but you look back in the pre-9/11 intelligence that we had about the agents in Phoenix and Minneapolis and whatnot. They're reporting all this human intelligence and they didn't do anything with it.
Yeah,
Bush had the presidential brief on August 2nd.
Yeah, well, you can argue about the motives behind doing nothing. We didn't know. We didn't want to do anything. We got another agenda.
Right.
But
But, I mean, if you just look at it and just... very simplistic terms. I mean, and we'll get into the danger of this data mining that is going on.
You know, but, I really.
I mean, if you're looking at from fighting this thing, if you're really going to fight it, why are you doing that? Because it's so much information that you really can't decipher it.
Go with me on this.
Okay.
Data mining. First of all, it's a nice neutral term,
right?
Like you know,
spying,
fostering beneficial information for the public. I mean, what does that tell you?
Right.
Anyway, the
war is peace.
Now, given those tools, you know, an ordinary politician, would he really like to know who's going to win in Afghanistan or in his district?
Right.
They're going to use it for their own purposes.
Right, you're right.
That even when they were just proposing it, and they didn't do it, they did the whole thing in secret.
Right.
Even on the face of it, you can see the abuses right there. And, of course, all the abuses came true. Not only came true, but faster than anybody could have thought it was coming true.
Right, right.
That's true. it was just like, you know, we got it. And so we know nothing more about Burma.
Right.
But we do know everything about you.
We know that you called your bookie on this date. You called your mistress on this date. You sent your wife flowers on this date.
You know, not only that, but if all of them were innocent, every phone call you made was innocent, they can lay it out over a period of time,
right,
and say, argue to a judge, a pattern seen in the whole.
Exactly.
See, 7 times in the last 5 years,
right,
that man has called his minister.
Right.
That man is contemplating suicide. Why would he be contemplating that? Because he's guilty of something.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I agree with you. Yeah, they can put a pattern together.
What good does it do to be right if nothing is done about it?
Well, we're just two guys in front of a little bitty microphone in Northern California.
Well, as I was saying, we should take some time off with this show to either let the public catch up with us or for us to get dumber.
I'll go with the former.
The former?
The first.
Yeah, it's much easier for me to get dumber.
I'm already there, so. But, you know, getting back to the NSA thing, so the one company that actually, there's 3 companies who just let the NSA go in there without a court warrant or anything, was there was AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South. The one company who said, no, we're not going to let you do this, Quest, which is the former U.S. West, the Rocky Mountain, the phone company, basically.
Yeah, but I've got
they said, no, we're not going to let you do the data mining.
Yeah, I've got something here, or I think about it here, but I read last night that not only that, but this thing we're just discovering now was going on not after 2001.
Right.
It was going on for all time. That whole security department. This is from Counterpunch.
Counterpunch, yep.
Yeah, you probably read it. Is that these guys, guy was doing a, maybe with Leopold. No, it's not him. But anyway, the guy is doing a story about this for an LA Weekly, whatever, years ago, when the security department at these telephone companies were freely, they had, say, department 50 people in it, 49 were there to facilitate the divulgence of your information to the government, and one was in there to take phone calls.
Right. Actually, about a month before this USA Today story broke on the NSA, I read a story on CNET, which is it's basically a computer shopping guide. It's really what it is, CNET.com. And there's actually a story on there, because they occasionally do run in technology type stories, where a guy who worked for AT&T was retired.
Well before 2000, they're doing
right.
This.
Right. He was he worked for AT&T for, you know, 20-25 years over
safely
in San
retired.
Francisco. Yeah, right. Safely retired, and he basically said, "Well, you know, this has been. I don't think CNET actually wrote the story, but it was on their website. Is where
you
I found
know,
it."
Dan,
what?
There may be something that I'm overlooking here.
What's that?
I'm saying, well, look, they're safely retired, but actually, I think that may put people who do that in more danger, because before they could threaten you with your job. Now the only thing can do to shut you up is kill you.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you've got a deal worked out. They're not, you know, and they won't, no, we don't want to kill him. He's making it look like we're right.
Right. But this story was out there for at least a month before, and you're right, and this is something that's been going on well before the Bush administration.
And denied all along.
Right, and denied. So, you know, they're basically taking all the information. And what's interesting about this, too, is I was watching the NewsHour last night, and they had a, they had a little debate, and they had one person from kind of a pro-spying consultant of some sort. He's basically saying, well, it's fairly benign. All we have is phone numbers. We don't have any names associated with us. Hello, I mean, mister, are you, you know, who are you talking to? Are you think you're talking to a bunch of...
Anywho, just go there.
Yeah, exactly. You can punch in a phone number on, you know, Anywho, Smart Pages, do a reverse directory lookup, and you can find near anybody.
That, you know, one of the complaints is that, well, your cell phone numbers don't come up. Cops have had that for a long time. They sit in the car. They sit in the patrol car, and your number comes up. They know where you are. And now you heard about this, that they've got the little chips in the cell phone to tell you GPS has know exactly where you are. You know for how long. And that not only that they have it, we have it, because we call Verify .com, which will sell you for $100 any information about that cell phone or where it's been for a certain amount of time. So wives, You right. might want to know this.
Yeah, that's a good...
Shh. WHEREFY.com.
Honest, I wasn't... I was at church. I wasn't at Moe's Bar.
Where's
honest,
my... Honest, honest. I left it someplace. Stolen.
But, you know, I think with the whole... this everything with the NSA, you have the appointment of Michael Hayden, a military person of the... what's supposed to be a civilian-run government agency. It goes back to what Tom has really said ever since we started the show 3 years ago, and I agree with him, is that we are really... What I think you see happening is this is it's a slow kind of creeping, maybe not even creeping, but crawling move towards a military takeover, a kind of a soft military takeover of our government.
In the government.
I mean, we're gutting the Constitution.
In the car coming up, not in the government, but his car coming up.
Yeah, right.
We were talking about this and that, you know, there's that tipping point. And I think I, this week, had a certain tipping point in which I realized that we have gotten to a point where the people who are breaking the law, violating the Constitution, and ruining the country are in a preponderance. So if you were an honest student, honest person, and you abided by the Constitution as written and supposedly sustained by the United States, is that you are now the insurgent.
Right, exactly. Freedom of press, you're an insurgent.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech, you can be arrested. This is a free country. Yeah. Not anymore.
I'm surprised you haven't been arrested already.
Yeah, you're right. That's an excellent point. And along those same lines, and this is just a little side note here, coincidentally.
I want to add one. Go ahead. Okay, so from other statistics that I'm sort of put together, is only about 2% of the United States care anything about this.
No,
so if you
got to
figure out that if 98% of the people are like that, how is that 2% going to do anything? Doesn't that make like a 2% of the population the honest ones, the criminal?
Yeah, right. And that's how they're going to look at people that are honest and who believe in freedom of speech and the separation clause and this sort of thing.
But don't worry, and they'll meet at the church, the big one down there.
Well, you know, as this story developed yesterday, last few days, it was just a totally unrelated story, but, you know, this notion of a soft military takeover of our government.
Pentagon takeover. Everything.
Right, the usurping of our civil rights and whatnot. There's a story totally unrelated that I, in my mind, associated with, and it was about this so-called immigration debate. And one of the things that Bush is proposing now to pander, you know, to his very conservative base is to put 5,000 guards on the border. So I'm thinking, are they trying to keep people from immigrating illegally or leaving? You know, are they setting it up so we can't
keep
leave?
Us in, you know?
Yeah, they keep us in, because, keep us pegged in.
They're worried not that we'd go, but they would go with documents that could prove them.
Yeah, right. It's like we're being penned in here, Tom. It's just coincidental, you know. There's no, just one of the crazy little thoughts that
I had enough money to have an account in Honduras, I would.
Yeah, that's for darn sure. Anyhow, you're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. My name is Dan Gowerty and
Tom Nato.
Tom, I got Tom just as he's about to sip his coffee. We're having our second cup of coffee here this morning. It actually tastes mighty good.
You know, am I talking faster this morning?
Not fast.
Have you noticed? Is it really?
Oh, on our break, Tom, I got a phone call from a member of the Elk Grove, California-based rock band Roscomar.
Oh.
And Roscomar's drummer, Will Gowerty, my son, was listening to us on Live 365. And he said, because I said, I said, Will, and Tom looked at me, well, isn't his name Billy? And I said, well, he doesn't like to be called that. He called me back and assured me, corrected me, that he does, in fact, like to be called Billy.
Now, this is an important thing.
Yes.
Quite apart from Billy and all that, is that, you see, that affected him.
Yes.
And we've been talking about, why are so many people in the United States just going along with it? Because these things that they have not quite directed or affected them directly. So people will be interested in something about themselves. And
true.
That Billy, Billy, Will Billy?
Will Billy.
Will Billy? No, Hillbilly. Hillbilly, Willie Billy. Anyway, he's demonstrating exactly what the problem is that he is interested in himself.
Right.
Which, and that's, you know, he's a nice guy. I've seen him, you know. He's good looking, too.
Looks like it takes after his mother's side, fortunately for him. Fortunately, I said. Not unfortunately. It sounded like I said unfortunately. Fortunately.
Yeah, it did sound.
There was a dead pause there from Tom. Like,
I'm not getting into that.
Anyhow, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to stick with the Stray Cats theme this morning, and we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street on KRBS 107.1 FM in Oroville, California, community-owned independent radio. We're back. You're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. My name is Dan Gowerthy, along with my colleague
Tom Nito.
Thanks for joining us today. We're heard every other Saturday on KRBS 107.1 from Oroville, California. We're heard from 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time to 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and we are tentatively planning on taking a sabbatical for the summer. Because
it actually comes news to the station manager.
If you're listening, Marianne, we need to talk to you. I really do enjoy doing the show. I just have so many obligations this summer. Saturdays are going to be very difficult for me during the rest of the summer, because I'm going to be managing that up-and-coming rock group called Roscomar. Right? I'm going to be their manager, the Beach Boys' father. You ever read about the Beach Boys? Brian Wilson, their father, and stuff like that. He's a maniac.
I used to be a big fan.
Yeah.
And I realize that the parent does it. Of course, I've also... Wasn't it Ike Turner that...
Oh,
well,
right.
I mean, they're...
Well, that was with his wife, though.
Michael Jackson.
Joe Jackson. Yeah, Michael. Yeah, well, I'm not that crazy. I just give me the 15% commission,
well,
you guys.
In other words, but I got to give you a tip.
Yes.
Don't have them hire you as a manager because they can fire you.
Yeah, right.
Buy them out.
Sign them to a contract.
Right, sign them to a contract, and then also copyright or to patent their logos and any artwork attached to them, and then you got them locked in.
Billy, I hope you're not here listening now. Anyhow, thanks for joining
Billy
us.
You know, Billy could be replaced.
Yeah, that's right. we always like to invite you to take a look at our blog.
Will could too.
Yeah. Take a look at our blog on the internet. It's located at www.ltobs.blogspot.com, or you can just do a Google
search. And no,
search.
That's not what the BS stands for.
Right. BS stands for Bird Street, where we are today on Bird Street. Or you can do a Google search on us. Just do type in LTOBS, and our name will appear at the top of the queue. So now that we have that, let's see, we talked about, not necessarily this other, Karl Rove, corruption, NSA.
Corruption
and police state. We talked about, who else did we talk about? CIA,
police state and corruption.
There's a kind of a theme here, you know.
Well, it's hard to get away from it.
No, it is. It's damn near impossible to get away from it. It's just like we have a wealth of topics. Some of this stuff we can't even cover because there's so much of it.
Let me just do that bank one.
Okay, let's do the bank one. We'll give a little levity right here.
Now, where'd it go?
It's at the bottom. Second from bottom, I think, Tom. It's... Keep going. Right there.
There we go. This is something that I picked up. I won't say where this comes from because they say you can't do it. But
they're not listening anyhow. Other stations might broadcast.
They're emails.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, for the benefit, I confess to stealing this. If that'll shorten up the legal proceedings.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
And wait a second. The staff, volunteers, and board directors, underwriters, KRBS don't condone the ceiling.
Okay, no.
Now that we said that disclaimer.
And Dan takes full responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay, this story appears in on the web, but it talks about something happening in New Zealand. And it says, after Adrian Rumney, a financial analyst from Wellington, New Zealand, ordered a new debit card from his bank, he stopped to buy some groceries with it. The card was declined. He called the bank to see what was wrong. He was told his amount was overdrawn by $12,180,000 by New Zealand dollars, and that comes to about $7.7 million U.S.
Woo.
Had he not recorded some of his transactions, he was asked by the bank. But what really happened was the bank overcharged him for his debit card and was supposed to cost him $9.95 of New Zealand, but really was dramatically raised by millions of dollars. Instead, worse, no one at the bank had the authority to reverse a transaction that large, so Rumney had to cool his heels while the bank figured out what to do. Meanwhile, the bank was charging him $9,000 per day, New Zealand, in interest for his overdraft. Let that be a lesson to him. We are very apologetic, said a national bank spokesman. The key thing for us is to talk to our customer and see what's going on to make it right for him.
Now, see, this guy's lucky it happened in New Zealand. You know why? Just think about this. What have we been talking about? Now, if this guy was in the United States, he would have been hauled away for funding Al-Qaeda.
Yes, right.
Think about this. This guy was not an overdraft.
You know?
Right.
Was
it overdraft?
Are
you trying
fraud.
To launder some money? You know, I mean, you know, why are you buying these groceries? You know, I mean, do you have some associates
how many people are in your household? I mean, that's 2 pounds of hamburger. Seems a lot for one person.
Right. Well, no, it would be kilograms.
Is there some symbolism in there?
Yeah. I mean, this guy's lucky he's not in the United States. He'd be hauled off for, funding terrorist activities with the new NSA program that's going to keep us more secure, Tom.
You know what's really is to think of it. People are more free in Mexico than we are.
I know. God.
Not Canada, mind you. Mexico.
You know, just as a side note, you know, this is something my brother Tom and I talked about 25 years ago, honestly, God, 25 years ago we talked about, and I read this story just the other day, that the infant mortality rates of the United States are the lowest of the industrialized world, the lowest our infant mortality rates are the rock bottom last of the industrialized nations in the world, the United States. Think about that. I mean,
I don't think you're phrasing that right.
What? No, that's right.
I think the mortality rates are high.
Well, okay, right. You're right.
What he's saying is that more kids die at birth.
Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, you got. Thanks for correcting that.
I understood it, but if somebody doesn't follow these things, they know.
We rank last. You know,
52nd.
We're the lowest in the rank, I should say, in terms of infant mortality rate. But we have the highest. You're right. Highest infant mortality rates amongst the 36 industrialized countries
Iceland,
in the world.
Iceland, Sweden.
Yeah, they're all high.
Iceland.
They're highly ranked, I should say. Mm-hmm. They have the lowest infant mortality rates.
Well, if I remember right, the Mexico and some of the island nations way out in the Pacific with only Shahs for...
Right.
They're doing better than we are.
Right. But you know, we have this great medical care system here in this country.
Go to the government. No, I want to go to my private doctor.
Right. Anyhow, let's get back to what we're going to talk about. And what we're going to talk about is, okay, so we have one case of corruption scandal after another, and this is something that a lot of people have been talking about for several years. It's kind of gained some traction. Tom and I have been talking about it ever since we had this program. The possible impeachment of George Bush, just for you pick
it. Not a moment too soon.
Yeah, you pick it. And, you know, this is a topic that actually has got some legs now in the mainstream media, although we've been talking about it for 3 years. And before that, a lot of other people out on the internet have been talking about it, bloggers. And it's actually kind of reached into Congress. Congressman John Conyers he himself has been talking about it for well over a year, year and a half, maybe a little bit longer. And, you know, lo and behold, this is something that is becoming potentially a campaign issue. And I'll let Tom read a little bit of the story from the Washington Post. It's by Charles Babington. And the story says, Democrats won't try to impeach president.
You know, this. I've disliked this one for many years, long before she ever hit the House. But anyway, Babington, isn't that like one of those comic names? Anyway, seeking to choke off a Republican rallying cry, the House's top Democrat has told colleagues that the party will not seek to impeach President Bush, even if it gains control of the House in November's elections, her office said last night. Now, why would you not turn an opportunity down?
I know it.
Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi of California told her caucus members during their weekly closed meeting, right, free and open government.
Yeah, right.
Wednesday, that impeachment is off the table. She is not interested in pursuing it, spokesman Brendan Daly said. Now, I want to tell you what may be affecting this. Speculation on my part, no proof whatsoever. This is not being said by the station. This is being said by Tom Nato, who knew her in high school. And her father was the mayor of Baltimore and was famous for a... the city was famous at the time for a corrupt government. She was the Democratic Party leader in California and was very good at raising campaign contributions and to the party. And so money is involved. I suspect that she's saying we're not doing it because she's vulnerable to corruption allegations.
Yeah,
and
you're
been told,
right.
If we go, you go first.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting is because just from a political point of view, I think that's a red meat issue. And, you know, I've even, it's even kind of crossed my mind. Come November, you know, if the Democrats don't do something, they with the exception of Russ Feingold and maybe John Conyers, most of the Democrats are just sitting on their hands. They're not going to touch us. And your explanation is probably good because they're as corrupted, just less so because they're not in power as the Republicans.
And what's missing from the story is anybody coming out against her for not doing that.
Right.
Nobody is. Well, now probably Conyers might, but this is the only paragraph. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraph story from the Washington Post, and then at the next to the last paragraph, where you bury stories,
right?
Some Democratic activists criticized Pelosi, saying she made the party appear extreme while drawing attention away from more useful issues such as gasoline prices and Republican lobbying scandals. You know, talk about lobbying scandals. I mean, if anybody's messed up in that,
right,
it's going to be either her or somebody like her. And as I say, this is my opinion, not the station
right.
that Dan's, you know, but this is just several years of watching this one at work.
Well, you know, that it's interesting that you mentioned that about her family and her background. To me, it's just amazing that this isn't something that a politician would run with, because this is something that a lot of people are talking about, a lot of people are looking at, and frankly, if they don't do anything with it, they're going to squander a huge opportunity with a lot of voters. Because when I go to the ballot in November and they haven't taken a position on this, I'm going to look at maybe voting for the Green candidate. I think they're going to disaffect a lot of people that would otherwise do it if they use it as a red meat issue.
But if people start voting for the Green Party in protest,
right,
what happens is that gives the people who have rigged the Diebold machines a place to put the votes. So you saw there's an upsurge in the Green Party away from the Democrats. So that will explain why there's 7,000 more votes for the Republican side than existed to begin with.
Right. But you know, one interesting thing about the impeachment movement, that John Conyers, who... If the Democrats were to take the majority, he would be the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. And Conyers has been in his seat since the mid-60s, at least, representing Detroit. Conyers has gotten several members of the Congressional Black Caucus to sign basically agreement. I think he's up to about 30, 35 representatives. I think most of that caucus basically saying, yeah, we're for impeachment. They're the only ones. And if you remember in the movie September 11th, the Fahrenheit 9/11, at the very beginning when they were
there was
Conyers,
Barbara Johnson was it?
Maxine Waters, Cynthia McKinney from Atlanta. Several of them, they're up there protesting, and Gore is, he was just, you know,
all of the minorities.
Right. All the minorities saying,
the ones that have already been there and trying to tell Americans it's not a good place to be out here.
And these, and that caucus has, they've got some courage, because they know what's going on here. But Pelosi, Harry Reid, the rest of them, they're just sitting on this. And, I know we're getting way off topic, but,
No, we're getting on exactly the topic.
I'll show you
how the pie is divided.
While Tom draws a pie.
When you get that. And then
talking to the mic, Tom.
Oh no! Anyway, so what they do is they divide the pie,
right?
So that when you're in power, you get most of it,
90%,
say, and the rest is divided by the others. And so the people, because of the division, then so when you're in power, you get the 90%,
right?
And so it's only to your benefit to cooperate,
right?
Because although it's not right now, you've got a job,
right?
Somebody else doesn't have a job. But don't worry. You've got a job, and if you wait long enough, then you can rescue America when they've had so many scandals crop up that they can't stay in office no matter what. And when of course, now that's all. We talked about this, Jeb's coming up,
right.
The Diebold machines. We said this several years ago.
Well, it's all rigged.
The whole, I always thought, those elections are rigged. Now they really are rigged. And so we can forget about an honest government again.
Anyhow, you're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street on KRBS 107.1 FM in Oroville, California. And let's see. One other topic I want to just touch on, just barely, because a lot of people are talking about it, and I want to make sure people know that we're cognitive of it, is the price of gas. And it occurred to me in the last few days that this spike in the price of gas, aside from gouging consumers and gouging everybody and making life more expensive, I think in on several fronts it serves the Bush administration well, because one, it funnels money into the coffers of the big oil companies. And the second thing, it really does people, it's a diversion. It really
something
is.
Something meaningless that
right.
people can come out and save you from, to distract you from what's really going on.
People are
going to
talk about it at the water cooler in their cubicles, at the grocery store, at the gas pumps. People talk and complain about the high price of gasoline. But I think it's really a diversion tactic. I mean, think about it. It sounds really diabolical, but look, you're going to, I mean, they already do it with the tax code. They're transferring wealth from the people who can least afford it to the people who are already wealthy beyond our imagination. So they got this great scheme going
and
on.
And I can imagine and, it.
Yeah, right.
I can imagine it.
And then the second half of it is not only is this a huge transfer of wealth, but it's a diversion. People are going to complain about it, and they're going to, you know, complain to their congressmen, and they're going to do something about it. They're going to talk about it. It's like the whole immigration
thing.
So it's just a huge diversion tactic from what's really going on, and that's like the, you know, as we alluded to earlier, the military takeover of our country.
And this is a interesting thing that I noticed. The USA story, USA Today story we talked about earlier.
Yes.
When you call it up on the internet, they've got the most visited stories, right? And they had, for that day, when this is the one where USA has told you this is what NSA is doing, took all your freedoms away, you're listening, the most accessed stories for that, there were like six of them, some rock group, right. Sex in Tanzania.
American Idol.
American Idol. I mean, people are going there. These people are brain dead.
Oh, no, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Speaking of brain dead, here's another story we came on, and this is something that, you know, we were out in front of this story literally from the time we started this show, and I have my own theory on exactly how it's going to happen, but here's a story that was filed by the AP, and it says, the title of it is, Bush backs brother Jeb for White House. Yes. Let me read a little bit from it. Dateline Orlando, Florida. President Bush suggested Wednesday that he'd like to see his family's White House legacy continue. Of course he would.
Perhaps with his
younger brother Jeb as the chief executive. The president said Florida Governor Jeb Bush is well suited for another office and he would make, quote, a great president.
Dynasty.
I'd like to see Jeb run at some point in time, but I have no idea if that's in his intentions or not. Of course it's in his intentions. It's in
everybody's intentions.
I don't want
to be rich and famous. No, we're not clear of that.
Yeah, we don't want more money. We don't want more power, Bush said in an interview with Florida Reporters.
Undecided about wealth and power.
Right, according to an account on the St. Petersburg Time web. You know, I mean, it's... You know, I mean, just think of this scenario. You know, they're, under normal circumstances... It typically happens with any president. There's a certain amount of fatigue. I think there is a tremendous amount of Bush fatigue. I really do.
That's
I think
running away from the FBI agents.
Yeah, right. But I think there's a tremendous amount of Bush fatigue. Now I'm really. This is beginning to sound like the conspiracy hour. But if we go, let's say we go into 2008, Bush is the nominee. And I think normally, if he were nominee, he wouldn't win just because of Bush fatigue. But this is where the Diebold thing comes into play. You know, they're gonna get to slide this guy in there. You know, I mean, it's
You'll have voted for him. You had your chance. It's a democracy.
Yeah,
but you
right.
know, I got a rule of thumb here.
Right.
That
what's up?
Anybody who doesn't believe in conspiracies is in one.
Right. Or as they said in that movie, Conspiracy, but they can't be proven. That's all the more reason, you know?
By the way, there's from Counterpunch, there was a, Billman, there was another view on him that
Bush.
This Billman, he's key someplace. I don't know.
Yeah,
this guy's good. And he's basically taking the opposite tack, is that there's no way that Jeb Bush is going to be getting in. And so.
What's his reasoning?
Well, see, because you can never have too much Bush, I guess. What is it about this family, a rather middling lot of trust fund wasps transplanted to the asshole of. of the universe, otherwise known as Texas, that leads them to believe that they have a dynastic right to reign over the United States of America. Back when George II picked old family retainer Dick Cheney as his running mate, Peggy Noonan even looked forward to what she anxiously hoped for would be the restoration. As if the shrub was some born to the purple princeling in the and the Clintons were just common rabble who had somehow managed to barge their way into the Versailles on the Potomac. Okay, she had a point. This guy's funny. I remember thinking at the time that I remember thinking at the time that the aristocratic principle was making a hell of a comeback in a party that still nominally calls itself Republican. The Borges of our corporate new class were demanding feudal deference as well as wealth and power. But looking at the raw material Noonan was trying to work with, it was hard not to be reminded of the pigs at the end of the Animal Farm novel, hobbling around on their hind legs with cigarette holders jammed in their trotters, pretending to be gentlemen farmers. Unfortunately for Jeb, and this is where the changeover comes,
right,
and the younger members of the family waiting in the line behind him, it appears the bush magic, a political quality somewhat akin to Walter Mondale's quality, which was called Norwegian charisma.
Remember that? Does such a thing exist?
Well, that was the joke. Has finally worn off.
No offense to our Norwegian listener out there. Listener singular, you know this.
The mob is back in the streets again, looking to set Mademoiselle Guillotine up for a blind date. This is almost over here. If this were an earlier era, I'd advise the Bushies to pack up the family paintings and go look for a friendly autocratic regime. The Saudis would do nicely stay with them for a while. A long while. As it is, they're probably just have to endure being the butt of every stand-up comedian's worst jokes for the next couple of decades. A piece of cake, so to speak, compared to the old days. What Noonan should have remembered is that the two most famous examples of restoration, the Stuarts in 1660,
right,
and
the Bourbons
in 1815, didn't work out all that well in the end. Both families were eventually forced to hit the road again when their ancien régime, Hautier, finally reminded their cranky subjects why they had kicked them out in the first place. I could give her other examples, like the Justinian II, blah, 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 and so it goes on.
Right.
But you can see, this. There's other ways to look at Jeb coming in.
I
said in the past, and I say again, it's only going to get corrected when it gets so bad that
right.
it has to be corrected.
Right.
Forget about anything happening right now. Forget about the Democrats doing anything.
Right.
It's just got to a point where everybody's in prison, there's a breakout, and somebody else takes over.
Well, or either that, or like I've long said, my theory on this is what's going to change things eventually for this country is something on the equivalent of the Great Depression, and it'd have to even make the Great Depression look like child's play. It won't be until that point until people
soon,
get to the streets.
Because the nature of this CIA military Bush
junta,
right? What you're going to have is decent American citizens fleeing to Iran, where they've got some missiles, saying, what you've got to do is help us take over the country, because we've got to make the Constitution right again. We've got to be living under a Constitution like the one we used to have.
Right, right. And who knows, that may happen, you know. But
I mean, look at the people who fled Germany for France.
Well, you know, that's interesting. That's something I wrote about a couple years ago on our blog. And, you know, in the mindset, if you go back in history, look at the Jews in Germany in the 30s. I mean, they kind of had this in front of them, and some of them left, but most of them stayed. I mean, this is the problem. Where do you go? I mean, where do you go? South
Argentina.
America? Argentina, perhaps, yeah. Bolivia.
Some of the countries, Bolivia's looking pretty good now.
Right. So, I mean, you know, is it time to start looking at it? Or do we stay here and fight, or is it just a battle that can't be won?
No, I think my opinion. Mm-hmm. Go to Argentina, regroup.
Regroup.
Set up the they had in France. For some reason I can't remember the name. The underground in France. The
French Foreign Legion.
No. That's cool. I tried to join that once. Really. Anyway. The French people who were in France, used by the British.
Oh, Vichy friends.
No, that was the one that agreed that they should be taken over. But these were the.
The French underground. I can't remember the name.
Yeah, there's a great name for it, and I've forgotten, and I'm so embarrassed because I've read so many things about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's what's going to happen. I don't have the skill, knowledge, or power to do that, that's going to happen.
But this goes back, though, you know, we got to wind down here. We just got a few minutes left. But this goes back to what you're saying about the most referred story on USA about the NSA. People don't care. They're not going to care until they're not, you know, it's like. Right now, people are having their civil rights taken away from them slowly, insidiously, and some people are aware of it. But like this poll about the NSA, 63% of people think it's a good, I mean, not only do they, not only is
I
it,
got mine, you get yours.
Well, it's, they think it's a good idea. So, I mean, they got the public convinced that it's a good idea to give up your some of your civil rights. So, I think it won't reach the point that people are going to do something until their cable television is cut off, their satellite TV is cut off,
you know,
and they can't feed their kids.
They're all for it when they're on the non-electrified end of that club. When you get on the other side and you're being electrocuted by a guy in what used to be blue but now is a black cop uniform, then you start seeing the light.
I don't think anything's going to happen until Americans, really wake up. And they're not going to wake up until they're hit over the head by with a 2x4 of what's going on, and it's not going to wake them up until the economic realities hit them. People, we're letting Americans, and I say we,
it's
Americans.
Not morals, this is money, see?
It is. I'm saying for people like the two of us, it's about principle, but for 95% of the other Americans out there, it's about, hey, what's in it for me? Well, they give a little bit more civil rights away, but will I still be able to watch American Idol? Will I still be able to, you know, drive my SUV around?
If there's something in it for